So we're going to pick up in our series that we started about 2 weeks ago called Seeing, and that's in quotes, is believing. Seeing is believing. And you've heard that quote before, I'll believe it when I see it, right? Anybody in here ever heard that? I'll believe it when I see it, right? And part of that is our skeptical human nature is always wondering, okay, what's the catch here, right? And so what we're really talking about here is that God wants us to see with spiritual eyes. And spiritual eyes, once he gets you to see something spiritually, now you're on the road to believing. All right, so let's go ahead and pray as we approach the Word of God. Because every time you come to the Word of God, every time you hear it preached, it should do one of two things for you. It should either form a new belief about God, or it should reinforce something you already knew about him. So one of those two things, sometimes it's both. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, you said that your word is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. And Father, I thank you that as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, and Lord, I pray that you would guide me as I speak, you would teach me as I teach, and God, that the body of Christ would be built up and encouraged in Jesus' name, amen. So we're really talking about kind of the elements of faith is what we're really speaking about here. And our key verse has been Mark, the book of Mark, Gospel of Mark, if you're following along. And Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, Gospel of Mark. And that is verse 23. And this is Jesus speaking to a parent who was desperate for his son to be delivered from demons, to be healed, to be set free from epilepsy that was caused by demons. And as I said last week, not every epilepsy is caused by demons, and not every sickness is caused by demons, but this particular one was, because Jesus actually spoke to the spirits that were behind the sickness. But notice what Jesus said to the man in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Now, for our purposes, what we're talking about here is if God can get you to see something, then all things are possible. There's nothing impossible. That's what Jesus is basically saying here. I always say that with God, there are no impossibilities, right? He's the one who formed the universe. He's the one who spoke where there was nothing and said, "Light be." I noticed that light didn't argue with him. In fact, scientists tell us that the universe continues to expand. Now, some people who don't have faith might call it the Big Bang. Well, I always say, well, yeah, I believe in the Big Bang. God spoke and bang, it happened. And it's still happening. And so the universe is still expanding at the power of his word. And that's why our words are important, what we say as well. So last week, we talked to you about the process of how do you believe? How is it that you believe? And we went about it by going and taking you to Romans 10. Now we're going to come back over to the book of Mark. But in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, I'm going to illustrate how seeing really is believing. Okay? So in Romans, that's right after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, then there's Romans. And I usually end every service with the book of Romans because I want people to have an opportunity to embrace the faith that I believe God is causing to bubble up on the inside of them who maybe don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way that happens is they're hearing about God. And Romans 10:17, which is just a little bit after our key verses, it says faith comes by hearing. Now, if faith comes by hearing, what are they hearing? Well, they're hearing words. They're hearing words. And as I spoke to you when we started this series off, that scientists do tell us, and a study was done several years back, back in the mid-teens. I can't believe I'm talking about the century in the mid-teens. But there was a study done on how we hear language. And how do we hear language? We hear it in pictures. So we see something. So when somebody says, the red car, immediately if I say red car, you hear red car, but your mind makes a picture of a red car. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody in here probably has a different red car. Mine would be a red Porsche. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, but somebody else might be a red Lamborghini. It might be a red Volkswagen. Who knows? But there's a picture that's on the inside when you hear the word. So that's why it was important, Jesus being the Word incarnate, the Word made flesh, dwelt among us. People had a chance to see who Jesus was. They had a chance to see the Word, and they had a chance to hear the Word. So Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, and what does it say? It says, if, right, and if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe, say believe. See, you could say and see in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one sees or believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Why? Because it's important what you say about what you believe. Right? It's important what you say. Because what you say gives power to that belief that's down on the inside. So this really is the process of believing, and this is the process of salvation. Now I mentioned it. Now go ahead and skip down to verse 17. Verse 17, same chapter of Romans 10. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what are you hearing? You're hearing words. Those words form pictures in your mind. And then last week, we took you through two miracles that happened in Mark chapter 5. So go ahead and turn with me to Mark chapter 5. I told you we were going to go back to Mark, and that's what we're going to do. All right. So as I said, last week was the process of believing and seeing spiritually, that God wants us to see some things. You see, if God can get you to see something, then you're on the road to believing it. That's, and then I shared with you, that's how I became a Christian. Because I had heard the gospel growing up. I grew up in a church that did preach the gospel. I heard about it. I could even repeat it to you. But for some reason, hearing it and hearing it and hearing it, eventually I saw it, and it was almost like the light got turned on down on the inside of my heart. It was not just religion at that point. It was believing. And the belief settled in my heart, and I just something, just the love of God came over me as a teenage young man, and it caused me to want to know God more. What happened was I saw that I needed Jesus. I saw that Jesus was my answer, and I had it down on the inside because I had heard it. I acted on it. And one of the things that we illustrated last week, the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, and also, the healing of the nobleman's son, we see that apparently both the woman with the issue of blood, Mark chapter 5, and the nobleman or the synagogue leader's son, he apparently had heard enough about Jesus. He kept hearing. He kept hearing the story. Well, go back to what I just told you. They're seeing something. If you keep hearing, Jesus fixes things. Not what we said last week? So go ahead and think and just say that out loud. Say, Jesus fixes things. He fixes stuff. Because every one of us in this room, we go through life and we have stuff. And I told you this last week, and it bears repeating. If you ever hear me say, become a Christian and all your problems will go away, stop going to this church. Okay, because that's just not the truth. Okay, But God gives you the faith to overcome and power through life's obstacles.
That's right.
And that is the victory that we as believers need to hear. We need to hear, wait a second, I might be going through something, but I don't have to just stop. When we were down in the islands, they used to sing a song when we pioneered a church down in the British Virgin Islands back in the late 90s. They sang a song. They said, if you're going through hell, don't stop.
Don't stop.
Don't stop. You just got to keep going through. Right? Don't stop. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Okay? Because there's a praise on the other side. There's a victory on the other side. There's an answer on the other side. All right? Praise God. So faith comes by hearing. And so there in Mark chapter 5, we see this totally illustrated. Now, we see this totally illustrated with the woman of with the issue of blood. So go ahead and with me there in Mark chapter 5. Praise God. Should have this marked. Sorry about that. We rely on our electronic devices so much. But get a real Bible. It does help. But if you put, you got to put your... Put your bookmarks in it. All right, here we go. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Now remember, when he said, if all things are possible to him who believes in verse 23, that was right before he healed and set free the demon-possessed son. And then he goes on to in verse 20, and he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all... That's the demoniac. He had proclaimed all that had been done with him. Excuse me, I just messed up the story. That was the demon of Gadara in the first part of Mark. All right, in verse 21, that's what I wanted to get to. Sorry about that. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by the boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him. He was by the sea, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him. And one of the anecdotal things that I talked to you about last week is that in the middle of your trouble, Jesus will go with you.
Yes.
If you cry out for help, he goes with you. And a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard, verse 27 is what I wanted you to get. Why? Because hearing the word of God and hearing faith and the things of God are important as believers. In the computer world, my dad was a software engineer for 40 years, and he used to tell me when I was a kid, he would say, garbage in, garbage out. So you put garbage in, garbage is going to come out. But if you put good stuff in, what's going to come out? Good things. That's why faith comes by hearing continually. And what's it going to do? It's going to bolster your faith. You're going to hear words. Those words are going to form images in your mind, and you are on the road to believing. That's how we got saved. That's how we can be strong in our faith. Notice what verse 27 says. And when she heard, that's the woman with the issue of blood, she heard that about Jesus. I wonder what she heard about Jesus. I wonder what she heard about him. I mean, as I said last week, I think she heard Jesus fixes things. That's what she must have heard. Jesus fixes things. He can fix my stuff. She had spent all she had, right? And still rather grew worse. And then we talked about how that one of the things that she kept saying, what happened was she saw something in her mind. She saw language in her mind. She had heard that Jesus healed. She heard Jesus set free. She heard all these amazing things about Jesus because everybody was talking about him. He was He made a splash, right? And everybody's talking about him. So she heard, wait a second, I need help. If Jesus could heal, if he could set free, if he could raise the dead, surely he could heal my issue of blood. Surely he could heal my issue of blood. And the Bible says here, for she said in verse 28, if only I may touch his clothes,
praise God,
I shall be made well. She got to the point where she heard all these stories about Jesus, and it bolstered her faith to the point she was like, I don't even need him to lay hands on me. I don't need him to pray for me. I don't even need to be in a church service with me. I just need to touch the hem of his garment. And it said that she kept saying that to herself. In the Greek language, it actually implies that she kept saying it. She kept saying it. She kept saying it. She kept saying it. And the more she said it, the more she heard herself speaking words that form images, and belief became stronger and stronger and stronger, to the point that she risks being reprimanded at the very minimum, possibly stoned. Possibly stoned by the religious leaders. Yeah. Because why? She was considered unclean.
Right.
She was supposed to wear a garment that identified her.
Yeah.
Because no Jewish person who was following the law should even touch her, because they then would be unclean. And she was supposed to, when she would walk through the crowd, she's supposed to say, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine her self-image at that point? Can you imagine what she must have been going through? But she's risking it. Why? Because she saw something. See, if God can get you to see it, you are on the road to believing it. When you're on the road to believing it, you will say it. And once you say it, now you are ready to act on it. And that's exactly what she did. She moved out of wherever she was. The Bible doesn't tell us where she was. But she found out where Jesus was.
Yeah.
She made it her business. Where is he?
That's right.
Where is he? Because all I got to do is touch him.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
And so she thought, I know, I'll crawl. I want you to think about that just for a second. Sometimes when we're desperate, she's desperate, but she sees something and it drives her, and she pushes her way through that crowd, and she's touching probably hundreds, maybe thousands of people. And she finally gets to him, and she just touches him.
Come on. Wow.
And the power of God goes out of him. And he notices. Because God knows the touch of faith. Jesus knows the touch of faith. And he knows when we're in faith. And quite frankly, believers, he knows when we're not. But that's okay, because he loves us. He loves us. And we can get there. And he gives us the way that we can get there, because we can bolster our faith by continuing in the Word of God, letting that Word come down on the inside of us. And it then produces that picture. We start to see. Now we believe. Now notice what happened. And so his disciples were... Immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned around to the crowd and said, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? His disciples must have thought he was nuts. Really? Think about that. That, like, Jesus, really? Really? Look at how many people just touched you. His disciples said, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. If faith worked that way for this woman, faith will work for you to get you through stuff. Because all things are possible to him who believes. If God can get you to see it and get you to believe it down on the inside, then it can literally change the direction of your life. Romans 10, 9, and 10 became true for me as a 15-year-old, and I've never looked back. Have I had discouraging days? Absolutely. Have I had moments of doubt? Absolutely. Have those doubts been erased over the years? Yes. Does the enemy still come every now and then, try to put a doubt in? Of course he does. Of course he does. Because that's what he does. He wants to keep us from a life of victory and a life that glorifies God. And so this morning, as we continue on, I want you to see that faith, the results of what we see down on the inside, can literally change our direction. It can change what ends up happening. Because again, belief comes from seeing. That's why we're calling this series Seeing, right, is believing. Right. Seeing is believing. Seeing with the eye of faith. Yes. Now turn with me over to the epistles. In the epistles, in Ephesians chapter 1, this is a great prayer you can pray for yourself if you're going through stuff, right? Say stuff.
Stuff.
It's good stuff that sometimes we don't see, but God has good stuff for you. But if you're going through bad stuff, he wants to power you through it. Amen? All right, so in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, this was his prayer for the Ephesian church. His prayer for the Ephesian church is just such a powerful prayer you can pray for yourself. And in verse 15 of Ephesians, chapter 1, it says, "Therefore I also heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all the saints. I do not cease to give thanks for you," verse 16, "making mention of you in my prayers," verse 17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Verse 18, "that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." God wants to show you his power. He wants to show you his goodness. We sang about the goodness of God. He is good. He is good. And so often we get muddled by religion and by circumstances of life telling us that, oh, God must have caused that, or God did that to me. Even insurance companies say things like, that's an act of God. Well, wait a second. The last I knew, Jesus said this in John chapter 10 and verse 10. "It's the thief who comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full," or have it more abundantly. God has an answer when life happens to us. And the answer is faith. Faith, trusting in him. Seeing is believing, and will help you get through every single obstacle in your life. And sometimes we go through obstacles. Sometimes you feel alone. Maybe you're here today and you live alone. You go through those obstacles. You're like, "Lord, are you here?" God is there. He's with you right now. He's with you, and he can help you through whatever situation you're in. Maybe you just feel alone. You could be in a room full of people and you feel alone. I'm telling you that faith still works. And this prayer, you can pray for yourself. Lord, just open the eyes of my understanding. Help me to see. Help me to see clearer. Help me to see what you want me to see. Because let me tell you something. The world will want you to see all their stuff and get you distracted by so many things. Distracted. Just pulled away from what is going to help you most. I'm so thankful that I had youth leaders and I had people in my life that just, they were patient with me, they helped me, and they gathered me along. They were, oh my goodness, they put up with me, right? They put up with me. And I'm just so thankful that I had people that helped me. I'm still thankful for people that helped me in my life today. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for mentors I have in my life, in the ministry. These people help pull me along when I do have those moments of going through stuff. You're not alone. So turn to your neighbor and say, you're not alone.
You're not alone.
Amen. Amen. So belief comes from seeing. And so Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that we need to see. So God opened the eyes so that we could see. And saying comes from believing. Now, sometimes in our faith circles, we've gotten that a little bit muddled, partly because we know that saying is important, but you got to have something that comes down on the inside first. If you're just saying empty words, you're just being a parrot, okay? You're just being a parrot. And it's important that we get something down on the inside first and not just say empty words. See, when we say empty words that we're not connected to, then that's not faith. But if we'll allow faith to be birthed in our heart a little bit, give it a little time. Of course, when you're by yourself, be speaking the word. Be speaking the word by yourself. Be like the woman with the issue of blood. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. Why, she saw something and she said something. The implication here from the Greek language is that she continually said it. She was rehearsing it. The Bible tells us that David encouraged himself in the Lord when he was down. He encouraged himself. So speaking out loud is important. And years ago, I know I made reference of this, I think on the first part of this series, that, you know, Pastor Christine and I, we were around a bunch of friends. We were living in Connecticut at the time, and we were nowhere near ready to get a house, to actually receive a house. You know, we weren't ready naturally speaking. That's why FPU is a great resource for you to help get ready naturally for your finances. But we weren't ready naturally, and we weren't ready spiritually. We thought we were. And so one day the Lord just kind of like put it on our hearts. No, quit saying you're next in line to get a house because you don't believe it. So don't say it out loud to anybody else. Now, you can say it privately, right? You can say it privately until that faith starts to really take hold in your heart. And now you can, there you go. There you go. I'm reminded of what Nicodemus did. Nicodemus, apparently, in John chapter 1, apparently he was following Jesus. He was hearing and he was listening. And faith was starting to form in his heart. But he wasn't ready to fully commit. So he goes to Jesus by night. Right? So he wasn't fully ready to speak out. Mm-hmm. I'm one of his followers. He wasn't ready yet. So faith was still forming in his heart. I want you to know that that's probably happened to every one of you. Some of you that you heard the gospel for the first time. Maybe like me, you were raised in a church. You heard it, but it just didn't really settle down in on the inside. But then one day the light comes on and you're like, that's me. That's me. And at that point, faith comes out. Now you're ready to speak out. Going back to Romans 10, 9 and 10, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. And so faith actually works that way in every area. It works that way in healing. It works that way in finances. It works that way. Why? Because belief comes from seeing. Saying comes from believing. And acting comes by choice when it's time to act, when it's time to put that deposit down on a house, yep. When it's time to make that step and put that resume in that dream job where you wanted to work, right?
That's right.
Instead of just talking about it. Oh yeah, one day I want to work for blah blah blah, and you name some place you want to work. Or I want to own my own business. Well, what's the first step? Well, you got an idea. All right, open a bank account for the business. Start doing things that are natural, but then what are you doing? You're giving action to the faith that's in your heart. You're giving action to it. If I can illustrate this, if I could have, let's see, I need a volunteer. Can I pick on you, Nimi? You can get me later, okay? If you would, go back over there to where the light switch is over on the wall. And I want you, doesn't matter which one, okay, I want you to turn off one of the light switches, okay? This is how faith works. All right, thank you. So faith works, the power is available, but it takes something to be released. There's two steps to a release of your faith. It is your words and it is your action, right? So in this particular case, the power is coming to the pole, to this building. It's going to the fuse panel over in the hallway. It goes to this switch. But now, in order for there to be light, there has to be action. Go ahead and turn on the light. Thank you. And so when you turn on the light, now there's action. And now the power is released into the circuit and things can change. Light comes into the room. In your situation, when God moves you to act on something, then that's your cue to flip the switch of faith on. Give Nivy a hand. Thank you, Nivy. Our teenagers are great when we call on them impromptu. All right? They're so flexible. It's great. Anyway, so again, I'm going to go back to this because faith comes from seeing. Saying comes from believing. Acting comes by choice. You see, action is based on what we're seeing spiritually. I was reminded of Thomas. Remember, we call him Doubting Thomas, but let's just be real about it. Thomas was a lot like us, so don't hate on Thomas, okay? He's a lot like us. He wanted to see the nail prints. He wanted to see the wound in his side because he was skeptical, just like you, just like me. He's a human being. He's like, oh, I'm hearing the stories of Jesus being resurrected. But when you saw him hang on the cross and bleed and die and say it is finished, and you saw that happen, you saw them put, in fact, maybe you helped carry him, put him in the grave, and put the stone over. So when Thomas in John chapter 20 basically says, I have to see it in order to believe it, it's because he had a different image. He had a different picture. He was seeing something different down on the inside. He was still seeing something different. Because see, when we're talking about seeing, we're not talking about eyesight. Although he saw it with his eyesight, down here, he thought it was hopeless. He thought it was hopeless. And Jesus appears in John chapter 20. And I love verse 29 because it says, blessed are they who have not seen with their physical eyes and yet believed. The power of belief. All things are possible to him who believes. That's how we become a Christian. That's how you can overcome every obstacle that comes to your life, my life. You need healing. You need help. You need wisdom. The same is true. Find out what God says in those areas. Let faith arise. And as soon as it starts to get there and you get a picture of it, just like the woman with the issue of blood, you're going to say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. For me, when they started singing, turn your eyes upon Jesus. At that moment, that split second, I walked that aisle and I said, Jesus, you're mine. I believe for me, I believe it's personal. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, that's what I have for today. Amen. You blessed?
Amen.
Say, Jesus fixes things. And say, seeing is believing. Now just say this out loud. Say, Father, help me see. Help me see. All that I'm supposed to see spiritually, that I can be strong and I can be a testimony to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you're here today, I want to give you an opportunity to come to know Christ. It's real simple. We don't embarrass people, but we want to give you that opportunity. And we do that every time we close a service. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You heard me preach a little bit about it today, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So with every head bowed in this place and every eye closed, please, no one looking around, I just want to give that opportunity. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you for anything other than just giving you an invitation to know Christ. The Bible calls it being born again. Jesus himself said, we must be born again. And the way that is we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth. We receive his forgiveness. And if that's you, every head bowed, every eye closed, and you want to pray this prayer, we're all going to pray it together, those that are believers in this place, and we're going to pray with you. And so if that's you, slip up your hand and say, that's me. I want somebody to pray for me. I want to become a Christian. I want to be born again. Just lift up your hand, and I'll look around. No one else looking around, please, and I'll just note that that's what you're doing. Anybody at all? Just want to give you an opportunity. If you're watching online, perhaps that's you. You can do this right in the comfort of your home right now. All right. Praise God. You ready to pray? Let's pray. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead. I receive his forgiveness, and I accept his love and forgiveness, and I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, wanted to pray that prayer, and you meant it in your heart, I believe God met you right where you're at, right where you're at, and he wants to change the destiny of your life. Amen. Praise God. We'd like to know about it. Please tell one or two people before you leave here if that was you and you received Christ in your life. If you received him and you're watching online, please message us on Facebook. Let us know. We'd like to send you some things to help you in your walk with God, help you find a good church that believes the Bible and that teaches the goodness of God. Amen? Praise God. Let's stand to our feet together. We have our sending out verse that we always like to end on. It's out of Psalm 121, 7 and 8. And let's all say it together. Say, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. You are dismissed, and I will be available for anybody who needs extra prayer. You need prayer for healing. You need prayer for anything in your life. I'll just be hanging around right down front right here. God bless you.